Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back into the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller and Cullen Steele bring in till 8 p.m. this evening. Been talking a lot about football, black and gold football, the Saints. Drew Brees had some availability over the weekend at his Surge Entertainment Complex, plus at the Saints charity event today. There was Mickey Loomis, Kellen Moore, Spencer Rattler, Cedric Wilson Jr. all talking to the media. We'll get into some of that audio. First, though, some of the happy things about football to talk about. One being the tush push will be voted and discussed tomorrow and Wednesday with the more meetings going on about it. And we're seeing now, too, that the Green Bay Packers, who have proposed to ban it, have kind of revised their proposal to everybody. Article number 4 here, assisting the runner in interlocking interference. No offensive player may push or pull a runner in any direction at any time or lift him to his feet. Use interlocking interference by grasping a teammate or by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of a teammate in effort to block an opponent. Push or throw his body against the teammate to aid an attempt to obstruct an opponent or to recover a loose ball, or assist the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him. The penalty for assisting the runner, interlocking interference, or illegal use of hands, arms, or body by the offense, a loss of 10 yards. And what I laugh about this, Cullen, to me, the effect, you're saying, prohibits an offensive player from pushing, pulling, lifting, or assisting the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him. The reason? Player safety and pace of play, because, man, oh, man, that tush push takes so long for them to run.
I was thinking about this earlier, the pace of play part of it. Is that simply just a very Democrat, a very governmental way of saying, like, we need more time? You guys get to the line too fast. We got to swap player. We got to make sure we get our big guys.
Maybe it is the opposite, because I'm thinking, oh, it takes too long for them to run the play to get off. And to me, that's not the case. So maybe it is.
They just go. They just go.
Right.
So it's like, it's got to be like, it's like the, it's,
oh,
like,
you need us to get set here.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of that. Obviously, player safety is something we've talked about at length, but they, well, what was the name again? I do like hearing this part. The very name of the article, Article 4.
Assisting the runner in interlocking interference.
So if this passes on Wednesday, get ready to hear that called if they end up, if someone ends up calling this play on accident or someone, you know.
Interlocking interference on the Philadelphia Eagles, 10-yard penalty.
Yeah, you'll have Mike Koss go, that's the tush push, guys. And Deuce will be like, I can't believe they banned that.
Although, you know what will happen, like the first ever interlocking interference will be called on the Saints. That's just how things shake out always.
But it's like the tush push, it's so, unlike like a drop hip tackle or whatever, hip drop tackle, it's so, you I hate to say it, I feel like you, if it's banned, you're not going to accidentally do it,
right?
Like I can't imagine you've got a run, like the Eagles pass the ball off to Saquon Barkley, he gets stuffed at the line, and then Hurts just shoves him. Like I can't imagine that happening, is what I'm saying. I think, I hate to say it, if you see, unlike hip drop tackles, which we had a pretty fair amount of calls this past year,
yeah, so
against those when they happened, I don't think you're going to see the tush push. Like, it's an offensive flag. It is a loss of 10 yards towards the offense, on the offense. And it's something that is very, it's very like you can't mess it up. You can't accidentally do it. It's something super purposeful. That's the best way I can describe it.
Sadly, this is one I feel like Commissioner Roger Goodell wants to ban the play. So I think in the end, we're going to see the end of the push-tush.
Yeah.
And like I talked about in triple option, the last time we've seen it will be Super Bowl right here in New Orleans when the Eagles did it against the Kansas City Chiefs. Something else on the table, NFL owners will vote this week on a proposal to change the playoff seeding format. Teams will be seeded 1-7 strictly by regular season record. Now, the NFL's reasoning here, competitive equity. It rewards the best teams, adds late season excitement, and ensures more meaningful games down the stretch.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to get on my soapbox and talk about this for a while.
Uh-oh. Cullen's cranky conundrum here. I don't know.
Turn up the dial, because get ready. There's a wonderful article that Albert Breer had when he kind of broke this news. It's been something that's been kicked around for the past couple years. Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated and MMQB, he was writing about this is, ironically, it's Detroit's proposal.
Right.
So a lot of, you know, NFC North having a lot of issues with the current state of the NFL. They need to change the way the game is played. Their proposal would be that the four division champions and three wild cards in each conference, as you mentioned, to make the playoffs, those seven teams would then be strictly seeded by record. This is huge. There is no, you know, there would be, if passed, no more 9-8, 10-7 Buccaneers that get the four seed. I mean, last year, the Rams, same boat, 10-7, they clinched their division. They were given, I believe, the three seed. I looked at this. I'm getting this from Nerding on NFL over on Twitter. They were one of the ones that was kind of breaking down the leaks that were happening as it went through the day last Tuesday, maybe the Tuesday before on the NFL schedule. So I kept up with them. And they looked at every single year, last 4 years at least, with regards to the previous seven for each the AFC and NFC and the new seven for each year if the rule will be implemented. Like what kind of basically what it would look like if we'd already been using this system. And of those 4 years, there are about six or seven instances in which a team would fall from being a division top four, you know, home field advantage situation to a lower 5, 6, 7 seed.
Right.
And of those, in the last 3 years, the Bucs, every year, without fail, they will drop.
Ah, the great NFC South.
Which is, I think, the premise I'm going with. This is the soapbox part. I think this is a good rule. Albert Breer talks about in his article that in the current system, again, further examples, the Houston Texans went into week 18 locked into the fourth seed. This is last year. Mm-hmm. In the adjusted system, seeds number 4, 5, 6, and 7 would have still been possibilities at that point. Another example, the Rams went into week 18 last year knowing they'd be the 3 or 4 seed in the NFC. That gives you home field advantage. You're not going to get the 2. Sure as hell not going to get the 1, but you're also not going to fall to 5, 6, or 7. So they saddle their starters in the new system. They could have been a 4, 5, 6, or 7. And then last year as well, the eventual Super Bowl champions, the Eagles, went into week 18 knowing they would be the 2 seed. Win or lose, they would be the 2 seed. In the new system, they could have fallen to the 3. And so you've kind of got this situation where now the new system would force players to actually participate in these week 18 games. There's an argument to be made that it actually might do the reverse. It might make it to where more teams might say, this just doesn't even matter. Week 18 comes and we just don't care anymore. We know where we're going to be or we don't care where we're going to be. But I think more importantly, it does level the playing field across the NFL a lot more. One thing we haven't mentioned, it's been mentioned before, though, these teams would be reseeded again.
Yeah.
That kind of confuses me. It'd be reseeded in the wild card round. I don't know what that means. Is it? I want to say
where your higher seed would then play the lower seed. You're not just locked into whatever your next opponent is.
And
right
one thing
now.
That is interesting with this system, there still would be some sort of benefit towards being a divisional winner. You have a tiebreaker over teams with similar records that wouldn't be a divisional winner. There is no head to head in that instance. So last year, when the Rams and Bucks, say the Rams and Bucks were in a situation where they were both 10-7. The Bucks won their division. The Rams didn't. In the new system, even if the Rams had beaten the Bucks earlier in the year, the Bucks would be given a higher seed, probably the 4, and the Rams would be like 5, 6, or 7 or something of the like, because the Bucks won their division, but the Rams did not. So there is still a benefit. There is still a clear-cut reason and goal to chase in winning your division, apart from just winning your division outright. There is an actual, you know, benefit towards the playoff push. But in the new system, you won't see situations like last year where you're staring down the barrel of the Lions and the Vikings, who were what? They went into that Sunday night football game like both 14-2 or 14-3 or something like that. Like, and it was winner take all. Winner falls to winner. Winner takes the first overall seed, gets a bye, home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and the loser falls to the what, 5. You're not going to see that anymore.
To me, if they want to do this, I'm ready to just get rid of the divisions and just have AFC, NFC, and just do it 1-7 with the best records making it to the postseason.
I feel like you do need the divisions. I think you do. Do you need the rivalries? You need the connectedness. I think you can definitely reshape some of those divisions. Some of these divisions don't make much sense. Is it like how a team is in the West and they're like really far East, and then, you know, they're in the South and they're like really far North, you know, in you know, Pennsylvania, whatever. But again, this, it does hurt teams in the cusp of that. We win the division, but we go 9-8. We win the division, but we go 10-7. And then if you got the likes where you're kind of like, you could go 14-3 like the Vikings did last year. You don't win your division because you keep dropping games to the Lions and you don't get rewarded for it. And you're stuck in this 5-7 seed situation. It's unfortunate. And again, like I said, the best way to describe it is, I think this is good for the NFL. This is probably the better choice for how the playoffs should be seeded. But in the immediate future, based on previous years, the NFC South would absolutely get screwed over in this new system. And that's not a knock against the NFL's rule saying reshape this for one division. It's saying, hey, NFC South, get better.
Well, I'm going to break in now from our sports talk to some breaking news here going on. A fourth New Orleans jail escapee has been arrested. They just came down on my Odyssey app, Cullen.
There we go.
Louisiana State Police have captured a fourth inmate who escaped from the Orleans Parish Justice Center on Friday. According to a post on LSP's Facebook page, troopers arrested Gary Price, 21 years old, in New Orleans. Authorities did not say where exactly in New Orleans they found Price. Now that he's back in custody, authorities will transport him to a secure state facility outside of the area, and this is a developing story. So once again, folks, a fourth escapee from the jail has been arrested and has been now in custody and hopefully secure. And man, oh man, that just been a wild season, 2025 for stories, Cullen, starting obviously with the terrorist attack here. We had, you know, crazy Mardi Gras, the Super Bowl going on, and just this latest event is the latest one just making national waves around, you know, around the news stories.
I had buddies that I haven't talked to in months that are like, do you hear about that jailbreak? I'm like, yeah,
I live here,
man.
Right.
What are you talking about?
I love when family members in New Jersey send me articles from WWL.com. I'm like, I know, I worked there.
Yeah, it's like I watched.
But all right,
right,
we're getting the impressions, the hits, as they say, for more, you know, those clicks on the WWL website.
We're an odd city. That's all I can say.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get into more of our Saints discussion. We'll hear from head coach Kellen Moore, who spoke today at their charity golf event right here on WWL Saints Radio. Stay tuned, Hoodats.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well, everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, you just heard the free Odyssey app. Make sure you download that, folks. You'll get all kinds of breaking news, like Louisiana State Police have captured the fourth inmate who escaped from the Orleans Justice Center on Friday. According to a post on LSP's Facebook page, troopers arrested Gary Price, 21 years old, in New Orleans. This is an ongoing story. Six suspects remain at large. Authorities are offering a total of $20,000 in rewards for any information that leads to those arrests of the escapees. If you know where they are of these suspects, just call 911. Happy to find out that a fourth of those jail escapees has been arrested. Meanwhile, back into our Saints talk here on Sports Talk on WWL. We heard from Saints head coach Kellen Moore today at their charity golf event. Talked about a bunch of topics, including that QB room that Cullen and I were discussing about the need for a veteran, which you've been hearing from the outside. But when it comes to the internal voices, like a Kellen Moore you'll hear here, and we just heard from Mickey Loomis before, it doesn't seem to be a top priority as we all think it is. We'll hear from Kellen Moore right now. Here's what the head coach of the Saints had to say.
All right, Coach, big week. This week, OTA starting. What's sort of this part of the calendar? What excites you most about this part of the calendar?
Yeah, I think obviously this week is our first opportunity for the phase three element of our offseason program, and so it's a great opportunity to get out there on the field. The guys will be in helmets. Obviously, you're still in teaching phase, but it's another step.
As OTA's approach is, what are your goals kind of for the first set of the practices?
I think we're still in the teaching phase, so we're still introducing the systems on all three phases, and so you spend a lot of time teaching and getting these guys moving around and kind of focused on the fundamentals and the techniques of this thing. And so most of the true competitive physical stuff won't happen until training camp, but this is a nice big step.
Drew, we talked to you on the weekend, and I mean obviously you came into the league when he was already established.
Yep.
In the league. Just your relationship with him, he always talked about you were known as kind of like a smart guy and a winner in college. Did you have a relationship with him? Has he talked to you much since you took the job here?
Yeah, Drew and I have exchanged a few text messages here and there as we've kind of gone through this process. But when I was a player in Detroit, Joe Lombardi came up as our offense coordinator. So we spent that whole offseason watching Drew and spent a lot of time kind of understanding that system at the time. And so always respected and loved Drew from afar, and feel like he's a perfect person as far as what we want to emulate here moving forward.
Back to OTAs this week, with this transition for you, what does it look like for you in prep?
Yeah, I think we're there. Obviously, I think from a coaching staff perspective, we spent a lot of time building up to this stage, and so now it's kind of an opportunity to just get out there and coach and spend more time on the field than in the classroom, which is ultimately what we all want to do.
How big of an opportunity is this for, when it comes to a couple QBs trying to win a job, what's the most they can gain out of this process in trying to do that?
I think it's going to be a lot on the process and less on the results as you go through this phase, just because, again, there's not much competitiveness. We will do some 7-on-7, but a lot of it's just their understanding. They're taking the classroom to the field for the first time, and so most of the decision-making factors obviously will come in training camp and preseason football, but this is certainly a nice little step for them.
Between working with Dak, Herbert, Jalen, I mean, big-name QBs, what have you taken from learning? What have you learned from those guys, from those experiences that you can apply? Because those guys obviously a lot of success in this league. What can you take from your experiences with them and apply to these younger guys just trying to break through?
Yeah, I think all three quarterbacks are different. I think that's the one thing you recognize is all these quarterbacks are going to come from different experiences, different exposures, different play styles. And so, I'm excited just to spend time more and more on the field with these guys just to get a feel for them. And, we feel like we got a really good group, a really exciting group. It's a young group, but it'll be a lot of fun.
I know the schedule came out last week. It's the first time time in like 25 years. There's no primetime games. Do you almost kind of relish that or use that maybe as fuel to say, great, well, we're kind of in the shadows and surprise people?
Yeah. I think it's a natural thing to acknowledge for our players. And so obviously they're excited to take advantage of the opportunity and see how it takes us. And so, we'll be fine.
If you do elect not to bring in a veteran or established QB, how does that work? I mean, I know you were a player. Is there any concern that some veterans will question how urgent the commitment is to winning, and can it affect their? How do you handle that? Whether they're worried about being part of a rebuilding or a bridge year or transition year.
Are you asking from a veteran quarterback's perspective?
Or I'm asking from the whole roster perspective.
Oh, from the whole roster.
For the seasoned veterans on the roster who are maybe feel like they're running out of chances to win.
Yeah, from a veteran quarterback perspective, I'm trying to think. In Dallas, we had a young roster, young quarterback room the whole time. I think LA was really young. Easton Stick was our backup. In Philly, obviously, it was Jalen, but it was Kenny and Tanner. And so we've had a few, Andy Dalton was our backup in Dallas 1 year. And so certainly there's times where if the opportunity presents itself, you feel like it's a really good fit, we'd love to do it. But, we feel like we got some good guys here. They can, certainly mentor each other at the same time going through this process. I feel like our quarterback room has some experience there in the sense that myself, Doug Nussmeier, Scott Tolzien, we've all been around this for a while from a player's and a coach's perspective, and Scott Linehan, been a coordinator and a head coach in this league for a long time. So, we do feel like we got a good room there, but obviously we're always looking to upgrade our roster as we go, and so, it may happen.
And then can you explain, the need also to see exactly what you've got in the young guys that you have confidence in, and how maybe not bringing in a veteran too soon helps you understand where their development is going and what rate it's going at?
We'll see how this whole thing progresses. Obviously, the roster is a very moving, dynamic thing throughout the whole offseason process. And so right now, we feel great. We feel like we've got some young guys. We're excited to just get them on the field and participate. And again, it'll mostly be 7-on-7. That'll be the only thing that, is full speed. That's just the way this thing's structured now in offseason programs. And so we'll give those guys a bunch of opportunities. It'll be exciting to see them get out there, learn, grow, make good plays, miss a few. And, that's all about this whole process is about.
And I remember you referencing Dak. Yeah, I remember you referencing Dak when you were still a player. And it sounded like you were saying, just because we have a lot of young and experienced guys, don't assume that one of them won't have a great year and that we won't win. Is that kind of what you were saying?
Well, I think every quarterback goes through this journey differently, and so I think it's all about opportunities and presenting themselves. And certainly Dak, all three quarterbacks that I've been around, Dak was the one that was young when I was with him. I was still a player at the time, but he hopped in there. He was a fourth round pick and hopped in there and played great. And certainly there's a lot of different quarterbacks through the history of this game that have done it in similar fashions, and so we feel like we've got some young guys who are ready to roll.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore speaking at the Saints Hall of Fame golf event today. And we talked about it, diving into that veteran quarterback presence for this room, where it doesn't feel like he thinks it's a necessity right now. We'll see what happens as things go on in the organized team activities, mandatory minicamp, and then come Saints training camp. But we kind of were bantering about this back and forth off the air, Cullen. I think a lot of people thinking that this veteran quarterback, whoever it may be, would come in and be your starting quarterback. And I don't think that's the case. I would think it's just more of someone to be there as the guy to lean on, a mentor for the room, kind mm-hmm. of you showing him the ropes and, the ins and outs of what it takes to be a pro in the NFL.
That's what I would look at it like. You're not going to get someone to kind of start immediately. The situation that we're seeing unfolding currently that I think would be an example of this would be the New York Giants. You have Russell Wilson. You have Jameis Winston. DeVito, I hate to say it, Tommy Cutlet's not in the equation.
But in case of emergency.
You drafted Jackson Dart in the first round. You drafted him late in the first round, but that's still a first-round prospect. And the expectation is, unless he stuns everybody at rookie minicamp and training camp and all that, and he runs away with the job, is that he's not going to play until later in the year or at all. And that's kind of the sentiment you're going to have these other guys. There's obviously the facet, the caveat that, Winston and Wilson might give Dable and Shane a better job at keeping their job by winning them games. And that's a factor. But I don't think if the Saints were to get a veteran QB, that's the kind of presence, that's the kind of atmosphere they would be. They would be here. They would be active. I don't think they'd be starting unless you obviously see nothing in Shuck, which we haven't heard, and you haven't seen progress in Rattler, which we also really haven't heard.
That could be the case why the Saints staff isn't so in dire need of going out there and getting that veteran presence because, well, if you're just looking for that, you know, voice for the young QBs or that mentor in the room, you've got, you know, we've talked about all the former quarterbacks that are on this coaching staff that these players can lean on then.
Yeah, and Moore mentioned it. He mentions it like, look, we think we like the group we have now. And kind of the way I put it again, you might not have presence in the room on the ground. You have a lot of presence around the room. And so it's kind of like if the sentiment is a veteran QB will add stuff in the room, but he won't do anything on the field, you might not need to get one if the coaches and staff can supplement that anyway.
Maybe we convince Drew Brees to unretire.
Dude, what if we say come back
and be the leader for the room.
This would be perfect for that. We're not asking you to mess up that shoulder anymore. We're saying, hey, just come in here, give us some pointers, teach us how to be an NFL coach or an NFL quarterback, and that's the premise. And we mentioned previously, you kind of put it kind of nicely with that. Like, I think they're kind of waiting for like to see where the cards fall with a lot of other teams. The Giants, see if they move on from Wilson or Winston.
I think the Browns. The late retiring of a Derek Carr kind of took them by surprise, and they weren't necessarily ready for it.
And you kind of you just see what's gonna happen, and it feels like if week one the quarterbacks you have now or the quarterbacks you have then, great. If it's different and you have a guy who has more than 5 years experience, which all four of them combined have, you've got someone like Teddy Bridgewater, you've got Rodgers, Wentz, Cousins, someone in that
role. We've talked about. It's like, do you really want to bring in a Carson Wentz? What's he really add to the room?
Yeah, it's like, I think the word I used earlier was crumbs. Like if you just see who kind of falls into your lap in late August, July, and just go, why not? But it doesn't seem like, as we said, it doesn't seem like it's a necessity.
No, what I would hope, I guess, if you're desperately in need of this veteran quarterback, I mentioned it earlier, the Cleveland Browns, things go well over there for Shador and, you end up...
Dylan Gabriel,
you end up releasing a guy like Joe Flacco.
You just traded for Kenny Pickett. Right, you're going to keep Watson on the roster, though he's probably not going to play.
Or maybe you release Kenny Pickett. He has, we know, experience with Kellen Moore, too, but I don't know how much that these young guys are learning from a guy like Pickett, even.
So it's like, at that point, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. Like, as I said, that's not the veteran presence you're looking for. The veteran presence you're looking for, at the moment, the Saints believe the coaching staff can give that. And if they need a player to do that, then I think you're looking at a situation where Shuck might not be ready to take the field. You don't want to put Rattler in a situation where his 0-7 stat line falls to 0-14. I don't know what's going to happen, but it doesn't seem like we're in a rush to get an answer. And I think they're kind of just waiting to see if Shuck runs away with it this summer.
Well, we're going to hear from a guy that's going to be competing with Shuck for that starting QB gig. One of the young guns in that black and gold QB room, Spencer Rattler. We're going to take a break here on WWL Radio. When we get back, we'll hear from Spence. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We've been talking plenty about the black and gold today. The Saints 2025 schedule is out, folks. You can see the complete list of games, WWL.com, along with predictions for each, plus exclusive commentary and reaction from the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, NFL analyst Mike Dettillier, and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Plus, visit the WWL Radio Facebook page and see our printed post. It's a 2025 Saints season schedule that you can download and set as your lock screen on your phone so you know what game is coming. I sure have that on mine. It's a definitely handy reminder just to open the phone and look to see what game, what day, what time. Although this year we don't have to worry about night games. It's just either a noon start or a 3 o'clock start.
It's unusual that we have so many 3 o'clock starts, though. Like, I think it is. I don't remember us having this many 3 o'clock starts.
I've mentioned that I selfishly love this schedule, honestly, because it means that the Cajun Cannon and I won't have to be doing post-game shows till 1 in the morning.
And I'm kind of fine with it. I do like that they're keeping with the tradition they had last year. I can't remember the 2023 schedule all that much. Of like, the first half of the season is like, it's a double of whatever, where you're playing, and then a double of the opposite. So it's like home, home, away, away, home, home, away, away. So we get in this kind of like system, because I don't love the home, away, home, away, home, away. I don't love the flip-flopping. And I like those stretches where we're doing one or the other, because it usually means the other one's coming around the corner.
Right. Well, the stretch starts with two at home. The Arizona Cardinals are first up, but who will be the Saints' starting quarterback? We've been batting around back and forth, and right now it seems like a two-man battle. Sorry, Jay Kaner, but everybody's expecting either Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler to win the QB1 competition. We saw Rattler start 6 games a year ago. He appeared in 7, went 0-6 as the starter, completed 57% of his passes, 4 touchdowns versus 5 interceptions. Now, going into year 2, obviously, we should see some growth from the young man. Plus, he didn't really have a full complement of healthy guys around him on this roster. That's another thing I'm anxious to see out of Spencer Rattler, with a full, healthy offensive line, a full, healthy group of wide receivers. Spencer Rattler spoke at the Saints Hall of Fame golf tournament today, and here's what the quarterback had to say.
As far as the season and the opportunity you have, what you did last season and now kind of a blank slate with the new coaching staff, how exciting is that for you?
Super exciting. I mean, loving the new staff, you know, obviously loving the team. We've had a great, you know, 3-4 weeks so far of our phase 1 and 2, and just looking forward to starting out Tuesday and OTAs, get on that field, spin the rock around with the guys, and just keep implementing this offense. I'm enjoying it, looking forward to the opportunity.
Collins talked a lot about, like, the language and how much he thinks about it and how much he tries to, like, make it easily digestible and understandable. Not lazy. Is there anything about just the language of the offense that stands out to you and how it's put together?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely less wordy than last year. You know, we tagged a lot of stuff last year, which each offense has their own thing like that. It's not like we're two-word play calls, but I like that, you know, we implement some tempo, some RPOs. You've seen what he's done with all these quarterbacks and skill positions. So, you know, definitely enjoyed watching his offenses from afar the last few years, and I'm excited to be in it now.
Well, now you're under your belt. What has the offseason looked like for you?
It was good. Was training back home in Arizona, and then got back out here and got right back to it. You know, I feel like a lot of us did the same stuff, worked out, played golf, enjoyed our time off, but we're looking forward to getting back.
How does the dynamic of the quarterback room change now that there's not a veteran there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just keep taking it day by day. I think it's a tight QB room already. I've known Shuck for a while now, being from Arizona, and obviously Hayner's here, so it's a tight-knit room. Love the coaches, love the guys in there, and we're just working right now.
Were you as surprised to hear Derek retire as we kind of all were?
Yeah, you know, we
wasn't surprised, yeah. You know, wasn't surprised, but I'm just happy for him. You know, he did a lot for me, helped me out a ton. And, you know, like he said, I could reach out to him whenever. So I think that's special. I think he was a good leader for us and, you know, much respect for him.
How do you not put too much pressure on yourself, knowing that this is wide open competition, kind of that fine line of just do what I do without kind of putting too much pressure on myself?
Yeah, I mean, you can't put too much pressure on yourself. You know, it's year two. Great opportunity ahead of me. Just got to keep working, keep my head down, and show what I got.
You talk about knowing Shuck for a long time, but what do you remember about maybe the close proximity that y'all had some years back?
You know, we weren't close like that, yeah. But, you know, mutually had respect for each other, you know, coming up in the same area, like me, him, Brock Purdy, guys like that. So, you know, I've always had respect for him, you know, followed him from afar and, you know, excited to compete with him.
What was your reaction when the team took him, you know, early in that second round?
Wasn't surprising to me. You know, I knew with Derek possibly retiring, we needed another guy. But, you know, you can't control that. That's out of your control. Control what you can.
How much of an edge do you think you potentially have having more reps, more experience, and starting some games in the NFL last year compared to him, you know, being a rookie?
No doubt. I think it helps a lot just with the speed of everything, understanding, you know, what you're going to see week in, week out, what the prep takes. So just want to take that all up to another level and just keep honing my craft and keep getting better.
Could you have envisioned going into year two with the most regular season starts of anybody in the quarterback room?
Probably not, right? I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, I was grateful to get those starts last year. Hopefully get to build on that this year.
With the schedule coming out, how much are you looking forward to that home opener? Or the opener?
Yeah, Cardinals at home, so it's a hometown team. It would be pretty cool to play against them.
What's your thoughts on the primetime games?
Again, control what you can. You know, I guess that gives us all a little edge, you know, but can't control it. Got to go out there and make them notice you.
Spencer Rattler, Saints quarterback, speaking today at their Hall of Fame golf event. And I'm definitely looking forward to the training camp battle. We know organized team activities start tomorrow, and there's a lot of non-contact drills going on. It's not a really competitive session, you would say, during organized team activities. It's more of a learning process. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore even talked about, you know, there's still a lot of teaching going on. These guys learning the playbook, his scheme. But come training camp, it's going to be all out QB battle, and interested to see how the snaps are divvied up between the guys. Because if you really are giving all four quarterbacks, you know, you got to throw in
Hayner and Deckers
as well, right? I'm just saying that, you know, the starting top reps, there's not that many to go around for guys.
I think the sentiment is they're gonna we keep hearing that it's a three-man competition, and I guess now with Deckers it'd be a four-man competition, but it seems like it's as plainly as I can say it.
I will say Deckers at rookie minicamp looked pretty darn good, and at least for me, if I'm Jay Kaner, I'd be a little bit nervous about that number three spot.
It feels like the one sentence headline is it's Shucks to lose. That's just what it sounds like. That's what it sounded like ever since he got drafted. That's what it sounded like following rookie minicamp.
I mean, plus to me, it's Kellen's guy. He picked him.
That's another thing. It's like you've got kind of like three pinnacles from three different kind of eras and mindsets, so to speak. You've got like Kubiak's guy and Rattler. You've got kind of like DA and Carmichael's guy and Hayner,
right,
a little bit, even though Carr was their guy. And then you've got Shuck, who is, and again, I mean, Shuck's Moore's guy, but he's also the highest pick of the bunch. So,
yeah, it'll be, you know, Shuck's job to lose, I think, in the end. I will be curious to see how much Spencer can give him a run for his money, because he definitely carries himself like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
He's got that swag or that aura about him, whatever you want to say. We saw, like I said, a little sample size from him last year, mm-hmm. and it was good to him to get those live bullets, those reps in an NFL game. But what this Saints roster was when he took over wasn't really fair to give him a shake, thinking that's what he's going to look like in the league.
No, I did the math a couple minutes ago. The Saints in those seven games were outscored 216-93, with two of them being games where we got shut out and
right.
scored zero. The other one being a game where we had like 8 points. So it's like not the best performance. I think our best performance was that 51-27 boat race against the Bucks. I think we're looking to have another conversation this offseason about if Shuck gets the job and gets the job early, we're going to have the conversation we had last year, which is who's two? And it'll be between the same two guys, Rattler and Haener.
Right. We'll see what happens with the QB competition. I think that's going to be story number one throughout this offseason and going into training camp. It's not going to change one bit. All right, we're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. You can chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Be back after the break. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. Listen all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Just download the Odyssey app and follow Bobby Hebert. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to this entire show, so Odyssey makes it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show or any of the shows that you love here on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or just tell your smart speaker to play WWL. Calling a rough night in sports, we ain't got much going on. The SEC tournament starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. NBA playoff action resumes tomorrow. I guess MLB is on the docket for this evening. That's really about it.
I'm so pumped for this SEC tournament, man. I love the new bracket, the single elim, high stakes. I really enjoy it.
Coach Jay Johnson, I don't know if he talked about it with Mike Dettelier earlier, he voted against it, was one of three coaches that was not in favor of the single elimination format. Before they were playing South Carolina, he talked about it, and he called it basically, oh, we're playing basketball now because it's single elimination.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty funny.
And it's like nothing else in the postseason in the actual NCAA tournament is single elim. It really isn't. Like, it's all double elim or some sort of, like, elim bracket kind of thing. It's not realistic to what you're going to have, especially with series all throughout the year.
The plus I see in this is you're saving your pitching staff and players going into the big one, the NCAA tournament.
But again, you'll have time in between the two, so you're not, I mean, unless you're worried about an injury, even if it were to not be like this, you'd have time to bounce back.
Tomorrow on Sports Talk, folks, the Saints are starting up organized team activities. Which players need to have a bounce back year for the black and gold? Plus, we'll talk to Blake Ruffino of Are You Serious Sports, talking LSU football and baseball. For Cullen Steele, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everyone. Who dat?
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share, and that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.